Let's turn to Jeremiah and chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. And so this is good. Now Jeremiah, he is right up to date with us. It's just amazing. In the first 16 verses of Jeremiah chapter 10, we have things that actually the church is grappling with today. And so this is really great to get this instruction as he speaks really against horoscopes and witches and hobgoblins and the whole deal. And then actually find out if it's okay to have a Christmas tree. Yeah, whoa, woo, this is present stuff that goes on. Well, let's go ahead and take a look at Jeremiah 10 and verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now hear the word which the Lord, hear ye the word of the Lord, what he speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed or terrified at the signs of heaven." That is, with the stars and so forth, like, is Leo the lion up there? No, it's another lion. What's the name of the lion? It's like Leo. Leo the lion and Hardy Har Har. Yeah. Yeah. So we don't really want to get involved with horoscopes, do we? Because, you know, Hardy Har Har will just start laughing. You know. Anyway, it's amazing the way the Living Bible puts verse 2 of Jeremiah 10. Yeah, it says this. "Don't act like the people who make horoscopes and try to read their fate and future in the stars. Don't be frightened by predictions such as theirs, for it's all a pack of lies." Boy, you know, the Living Bible gets right to the point sometimes, doesn't it? And so this is something that goes on in our society. You know, a lot of people follow horoscopes, and there's palm readers even in Anaheim here, aren't there? Have you seen the little shops? You know, come on in, get your palm read. Boy, I remember when I was in third grade. Now, I got saved in second grade in Vacation Bible School. So I was a saved little boy. And we had a carnival at our school. And they had a booth with a lady reading your palm. And that was the first time that ever happened to me. And she looked at my lines and everything. And I got so creeped out. It's like the Lord knew I was a little Christian already. And wanted to just let me know, this is baloney, baloney, salami. And you need to get clear of this. And I remember thinking, how did the teachers allow this lady on the campus? You know, kind of thing. Well, the Lord is definitely against this kind of thing. And I know that this sometimes even goes on amongst Christians, unbeknownst. They don't really know what's in the Word of God. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we want to get a little knowledge about this today. And this horoscope thing is definitely not of the Lord. Now, before we go to a scripture in Isaiah to kind of enlarge upon that a little bit, we'd like to deal with the first part of verse 2. It says, "Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." And now the heathen are those that don't know Christ. They're Christless. They really don't want to know the Lord. And they're going after different things that are totally not of God. And so we want to not learn their ways. It's important not to learn their ways. I'd like to turn with you in the New Testament on this idea to Romans chapter 16 and verses 19 and 20. Romans chapter 16 and verses 19 and 20. So verse 19 of Romans 16 says this, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good." In other words, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things deserve praise, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. That's how you should be wise. And that's where your brain should be operating. "And simple or naive concerning evil." Harmless concerning evil. be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so just turn away from the evil thing. Don't study it. Don't get into it. Don't be up on all the drugs that are on the streets. Just shine it. Just move away from it quickly and be concerned with the things that are good. Learn not the ways of the heathen. Now, I remember years ago in a church that Sherry and I served in, actually, there was a mother and daughter that lived in total fear. They had three locks on their front door and at their house, and I went over to visit them. They were members of our church, the Presbyterian Church, and they were just living in fear. And it's because they had gotten into this man named Bob Mumford. And Bob Mumford used to teach that you could be demon-possessed as a Christian. And you had to be careful when you went out that certain spirits wouldn't jump on you. And yeah, it was just really dumb, you know. Because we know that Christians cannot be demon-possessed, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. But in their studies, they were studying the devil, actually. They were studying his ways and to be careful of him and all this stuff. And they developed this terrible fear. And so they were actually afraid to go outside. And of course, I came and I ministered to them the love of Christ. And, you know, let's think on things that deserve praise and things of good report, and get away from this whole preoccupation with the devil. Yeah, they actually had meetings, church meetings, where you were handed a paper bag at the door to throw up your demons in the paper bag during the service. Is that ridiculous? I know, it's just unbelievable the things that people get into. My goodness. But anyway, I'm glad that's over. And I don't know if it's still going on somewhere else, but so this idea of really being centered on the good. Remember at the Bill Gothard seminars, they would happen actually around the nation, and I went to Long Beach Auditorium to hear him talk on this, and it was so good. He said, you know what, how the Japanese are trained to recognize counterfeit money is that they have them deal with so much good money, all the time good money, you're counting good money, being involved with good money, that when a counterfeit shows up, they recognize it immediately because they're so used to the good. And that's really the way it should be with us Christians, to center in on that which is good and from the Lord, and study Him and be close to Him. And when something comes up that's not of the Lord, you just recognize it immediately and you rebuke it away and get clean of it and walk not in fear, but in love, power, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. And it's a good thing. So with that, let's go back to Jeremiah now, Jeremiah chapter 10, and just to talk about this next verse, or the remainder of verse 2 in Jeremiah 10. So read that again. It says, thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heavens. For the heathen are dismayed or terrified at them, these different horoscopes that they would read, and how they would read the stars, and they would get into these terrifying situations, because actually getting direction from the stars is not from God. It's not from the Lord. We have to steer clear of those things. Now, this would include, and I want to bring you into a larger picture of this, mediums, and Ouija boards, and tarot leaves, and all of that stuff that people use, and palm readers that we actually have here in our own city. This is all of the devil, not of the Lord. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 19. Now, Isaiah is back from Jeremiah, just one book, and so we go to chapter 9. And verse 19, it says this scripture has helped me so much on this subject. I wanted to give it to you today. There's many other scriptures, but this one was most helpful for me. It says, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. It's chapter 8, verse 19. You know, I made that mistake all three services. I can't believe I didn't get it after. Okay, yes, chapter 8, verse 19. When they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. Now, this is familiar to us with the New Age movement. That's just, you know, a little bit recent. They talk about spirit guides. But you're not to seek unto them. Seek not unto them that have familiar spirits. And unto wizards, which is translated fortune tellers in some of your modern translations, that peep. I thought that was an interesting thing there. They peep. Or whisper is another translation. And that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God? We don't want to be doing seances and that kind of thing. And this last verse really speaks heavily about that. The last clause in verse 19, it says, for the living to the dead, which better translated is, why do you seek among the dead the things concerning the living? Why seek for the living among the dead? You want to go talk to dead people? Come on. You know, we want to talk to somebody who's alive, and Jesus Christ is alive, isn't he? He's really alive and well. So God wants us to seek after our God. Now, we all have these desires to know what's coming. And you know, God understands that. And that's why we have Bible prophecy. I am so thankful to the Lord that in these last days, when we're faced with weapons that can blow the whole world up, that this is the first time this has been since World War II. The biggest bomb they ever used was 2,000 pounds, but now we have the H-bombs, and or you know, other than the two at the end of the war, which thank God it was the end of the war with the atom bomb. So in the chemical weapons that are so terrible and hideous, with these things around, it's so great that God actually lets us know what's going to happen. And we know that Iran is dangerous. And there will be an attack by Iran and Russia against Israel. We're told that very clearly. We've studied this many times from Ezekiel 38 and 39. And Prime Minister Netanyahu is really aware of Ezekiel 38 and 39. He's right on top of it. And that's coming. But we're told that 5/6 of that army that attacks Israel will be destroyed by God, taken care of by the Lord. And it's so sweet of the Lord to give us that, you know, in the light of the fears that we could have about the A-bomb thing and H-bomb thing. So God is good that way. Now, you know, I'd like to turn with you to a scripture in the New Testament that lets us know about this. Jesus promises this for us. Let's go to John 16:13. John 16:13. Now, the Lord is talking about the Comforter. And I'm glad that he calls us Holy Spirit the Comforter, because we sure need a lot of comfort, don't we? Oh man, I do. Do you? I do. Yeah, we need a lot of comfort. And the Greek word parakletos, which literally means one who comes alongside to help us when we're needing comfort. And so it says here about him, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You know, he's the original spirit guide, the Holy Spirit. And this whole New Age thing is just a bunch of fake ones, you know, just the demons out there. But he wants to guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, and that's from the Father, from Jesus, that he'll speak. And he will show you things to come. I love that. He will show us things to come. He's careful to do that about our lives. He wants us to know that his plan for us is not for evil but for good, that we might have a future and hope. And he talks about heaven, and he talks about descending from heaven to take his church home to be with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then what does it say after that? Comfort one another with these words. that we shall ever be with the Lord. So he has this very comforting thing that he's bringing to us through his Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And he wants us to seek unto our God, not to any other thing that's just a bunch of bogus business. And they're giving out bologna, and salami, half price. And so, yeah, I just kind of added that one this time. But the thing is that we don't want to go for that, but go for the gold, the work of God in our lives, right? And let the Lord speak to our hearts concerning our concerns. You know, I am so proud of the Lord and so thankful for him, how wonderfully he's able, especially in desperate times. And if you've been a Christian any length of time, you know that this is true. When you really need to hear from God, I mean, you know, there's no two ways about it. Lord, I need to hear from you. God is so good to give us scripture, to give us comfort, and show us things to come. He's so wonderfully, powerfully able to do that. You know, there's been a lot of change in our church this last couple of weeks, and probably most of you know by now that Pastor Bill is stepping away from the finances of the church now, and he certainly does deserve that. He's worked like a dog for 23 years to do so much with the finances for us, and been a great, wonderful pastor that way. But, you know, he's still part of our family, and he'll be teaching on Sunday nights and other things that he's mentioned that he might do. And it's just so great that he's going to do those things and be around. That's the way he said it to us and to those that he's announced it to at different fellowships already. He says, I'll still be around. And I love that idea. And he told me that Terry loves her job here. And I'm so blessed with that too. Terry, his wife, works in the office here, and it's a blessing to have her around. And so we don't have to weep and cry, you know, but just be blessed for him that he's just come to a place in his life now where he wants to, you know, set aside the finances, and that's a great and mighty thing. So, and then Jonathan and Gracie are leaving at the same time, you know, from the payroll and from being involved with the church, of course. And so, man, that was a double deuce whammy to, and I got so emotional about it, and I went home and just cried a little bit, and, you know, just felt bad a little bit, and then got better because I realized that what Bill was saying, and he's just saying, I still love you and I'm still here. It was a blessing, you know, but I needed a word from God about what's next. And just to share with you, James, my son, who lives in Colorado Springs, he came across a revelation from the Lord. What happened is Marvin, and most of you know Marvin, he died at 93 years old. He used to do our choir, but he is kind of the sage or prophetic man of the church, you know, for a long time. And he was like a dad to Bill and to me. And anyway, before he died, he was here at a funeral right over here in this section of the church, and James was sitting with him, and they were hobnobbing and so forth after the funeral, and Marvin got up to leave, and he was going with his cane to the door right there, and James thought that this was would be the last time he ever saw Marvin, which was true. It was the last time that James saw Marvin, because he went back to Colorado Springs and Marvin passed away. And so the next funeral that James was at was Marvin's funeral. But anyway, he said a prayer. He said, Lord, if you could just give me a word from you, from Marvin, I would be so blessed. And Marvin, on his way back to that door, stopped in his tracks and turned around and smiled at James. It's almost like the Lord told him that James prayed that. But he just came back to James, and he got down next to his ear, and he says, the Lord has shown me that you're going to take over someday for your dad. Whoa. So, the plot thickens. About a year ago, he called me, says, Dad, I'm remembering that prophecy from Marvin. It's been 6 years that he's been there in Colorado Springs now. And he says, you know, I'm just feeling pretty strong about that. And, you know, and I began to pray about it, and I felt stronger and stronger about it too. And so then when Pastor Bill said he was stepping down and Jonathan's leaving, I thought immediately of James. And I went, called him up as, James, it's time. It's the first thing I said. It's time. And so he's going to sell his house. He's going to come here and live in California, and he's going to be doing Bill's job for us, taking over the finances of the church. He's really good at that kind of thing. And also then being assistant pastor. And just begin internship of learning how to take over a church and to be the pastor. And so I don't plan to leave until I'm dead. But, yeah, no. Hallelujah. Thank you for clapping. Now, that's a nice thing. I don't want to stop. I'm having too much fun. But so anyway, the Lord has just shown us that this is just preparation for the future. That's all. And you know, my mom got Alzheimer's when she was 75. And I've kind of followed mom and her diseases. And I know that that might not happen, and I hope it doesn't. But if it does, I won't remember you. So then somebody else has got to get up here, right? And so that would be James. And so that's what's happening. So I'm very blessed with that. And God has given us such great scripture, you know. And I just wanted to share these scriptures because it is amazing how God, and I want to share this for you and I, it is amazing how He can parallel your life so pointedly and speak to you so loudly through scriptures and stories in the Bible that you would never think applied. But the first thing that happened is this. I needed to know how soon James could come. And I'm reading in the scriptures, and the Lord said, send Timothy shortly. Shortly. And it mentions that twice in the same verse. And it says, he's been as a son to you. And I went, whoa. So I called James. I said, well, it's going to be real short before you come. So the Lord told me. So praise the Lord. Looks like July. But anyway, then after some time, you know, how you get the doubts and the fears and all of that stuff. And the Lord did an amazing thing the other morning. I just was stunned with the scriptures he gave me. And kind of through a devotional, Pastor Chuck, which I read every day. But it was concerning King David. God sent Nathan to King David and said, you're not going to build the house, but your son is going to build the house. And I'm going to build you a house. And I'm telling you, I was so moved with how personal that was in the situation and how it lifted me up about my future, you know, our future, Sherry and I. But at the same time saying, you know, it is time for James to come and be trained in this. We don't want to leave the poor congregation high and dry when you kick the royal bucket, you know. So anyway, it was precious. And it just ministered to me of so many different things that need to be loose-ended, right? And so then I just began to weep before the Lord and praise His name. I was so in praise and just shocked, and I couldn't wait till Sherry woke up so I could share this with her. And then it says after that, David went in and sat before the Lord. And he said, Lord, who am I that you've given me such promises? And it was a very precious time between King David and the Lord. And you know, I just was so privileged to be identified with King David from the Lord God Almighty. And it just, I can't tell you the elation and the heavenly sense of being circling the heavens with wings or something, you know. It felt like a bird in a golden sky that just learned how to fly. And so just to let you know about that, and just to say again, when you are desperate and you need a word from God, that's where you go. And you sit before Him and you wait in the Scriptures for Him, and He will speak to you. As we had last week, my sheep know my voice. And He is our good shepherd. And He does not want to leave you out there high and dry, ever. And I just want to encourage you with that thought. Amen?
Amen.
This is good. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 10. And now let's talk about your Christmas tree this year. Okay, now there are folks in legalistic type churches and movements that believe that they should not celebrate Christmas, and you should never, ever, ever have a Christmas tree because of these verses. And you can see where they get it. But it's actually taking it out of context, because this tree that we're going to talk about was a god to them, and a god that brought scary things into their lives. And God does not want you to be afraid. But of course, our Christmas tree represent the beauty of God's nature. They represent the star on the top as the star of Bethlehem, to remind us about the birth of Christ. And it's a festive thing to do, to celebrate His birthday. And so it's a whole different thing. And so I want to say, in my mind, you can be free to have a Christmas tree. I think we had 19 of them up here for Christmas, or was that the year before? Right? We just have a lot of trees around. But anyway, let's read it. For the customs of the people are vain, verse 3. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers. You know, I'm picturing things like tinsel and things like the stand of the Christmas tree that they pounded with nails in the bottom, and you have to pry that out and put it in the water and everything. And so it really seems like a parallel here. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. So that's a point that the Lord wants to make. It doesn't move. They are upright as the palm tree, but they don't speak. So they don't move and they don't speak. They must needs be borne or carried, because they cannot go. They don't have legs. The trees can't walk. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. So there was some fear involved here, because these represented in a way gods for them. And they would just get, I don't want the word traditions, the word heebie-jeebies? No. Well, the word heebie-jeebies would go with it, but what's the word I want here? It's kind of a custom to them to represent gods to them. And but you don't need to be afraid of them. They cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto you, O Lord, we need to worship you, O Lord, and not these trees. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of nations? For to you does it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. Like Proverbs 21:30 says, there is no counsel, there is no wisdom, there is no plans against the Lord, because He is everything, He knows everything, and He is all-powerful. And no tree is going to rule over Him. And it's ridiculous to worship something that doesn't move and cannot talk. And it's just something, and these things come later here as they're described. But I would like to say to you that in this one scripture, be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. That we should never, ever fear any kind of false religion that's demonically made up and so forth, that they can hurt us in some way with their curses. I think of voodoo right now. I remember when we went to Haiti, we had a pastor's conference there, and the pastor with the most light at that conference, I'll never forget him. He was such a right-on brother. He was from an area in the mountains of Haiti that right next door to him, they would do the voodoo worship. And they would have their loud parties and things that they would do. And he was so filled with the Holy Ghost. It's like when it's dark, Jesus Christ is brighter than all the darkness around. And it's just the way it is. And that's what the comparison that we get here. Who's like you, O Lord? And we never have to be afraid of anything like that. The voodoo people hung a dead goat on the fence of where Sherry and I were staying in Haiti. And Pastor Marcel told us that they did that to curse us, you know, kind of thing. And, but, you know, as we sought the Lord, that's what you do. You just seek the Lord, and God protects us because we're His own. And He knows those who are His. And the peace came and was a great blessing as we just read His Word. You know, it was just so great. June's here today. June, remember when we were in Haiti and you said that you just felt that you really needed to pray? And that's what happened. I woke up in the middle of the night and I was full of fear. I couldn't hardly say the name of Jesus. And I felt this oppression on my chest. And the Lord led June Walsh back here to start praying at that time. And so then I just grabbed the Bible, started reading the Bible, and it just all went away from the prayers and from the Word of God. And that's just the way it is. I want to give you a scripture on this. This is important to know about. Let's go to Proverbs and chapter 26, verse 2. Now, Proverbs is back from Jeremiah, just one book. I'm sorry, not one book, it's more than one book. So we go back to Proverbs, Psalms and Proverbs, and 26:2. Proverbs 26:2. Now, here, this is a verse that the Lord gave us a long time ago to really get us away from any kind of fear of evil things. Now it says, as the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. If anybody's trying to curse you or put a whammy on you or stick pins in your doll, whatever you know they do, it's just not going to happen because you belong to Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. The curse causeless shall not come. This all came from a deal we had in our apartment complex years ago with a lady named Anita, who was so scared that the lady down from her that we both knew, who was into Buddha and Hare Krishna and all kinds of evil things, that she had put a curse on poor Anita. And Anita was scared to death that this curse would just ruin her life. And so Sherry got to go and minister to her and bless her and share with her Jesus, and she accepted Christ as her Savior. And you know, when you've got Christ as your Savior, nothing can touch you. It's just a wonderful place to be in the love of Christ. Amen? And the curse causeless, no matter what kind of whammy that somebody might try to whammy you with, will not come to pass because you belong to Him. So it's as simple as that. This is something great to know for us and a great blessing. So let's go back then to Jeremiah chapter 10 and read on now. It says, but they are altogether brutish, or like animals is one translation. I remember the Living Bible puts this as like a cow. I like that the best. They that are actually about these things are brutish and foolish. And the stock or the tree is a doctrine of vanities. It's just a vanity. It's a nothingness to even consider. But you know, I think about being a cow. I worked on a farm once. Yeah, I did. And I remember how beautiful the eyes of the cows were. Big, giant, brown eyes with lashes as long as anyone would ever want to fake a lash. I mean, just this huge lashes. But you look into their eyes, and there is absolutely nobody home. They are just stakes there, you know, 4 feet. That's what they... So, the Lord is just saying, these guys are like cows. Brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanity. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, that would be Spain or England, and gold from Uphaz, the work of a workman and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. Not the work of God, but of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King, and His wrath, the earth shall tremble. Oh yeah, when the tribulation period comes, everybody's going to be shaken, and they're going to be hiding under rocks and in dens and caves saying, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, for the wrath of the Lamb has come, and who is able to stand? Oh my, we don't want to mess with the Lord and go other ways. And the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom and has stretched out the heavens by His discretion. When He utters His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings with rain and brings forth the wind out of His treasuries. Oh yeah, that's our God. He's amazing. He makes the lightnings. Now, the lightnings, I want to talk about the lightnings a little bit. I was working auto parts, and the owner of the store came in one day and said, Mark, read this little article from the LA Times about what happened in the Midwest. And it was a little town in the Midwest, and there was this unbelievable thunder and lightning storm that happened one night. All the kids woke up and were crying. The people were just, you know, amazed with the strength of this thunder and lightning that was going on. And the lightning hit the bell tower of the church, and the organs went off, or the bells went off in the church steeple, and actually brought forth the song, How Great Thou Art. Oh yeah, I love that article. Isn't that a great article? How great Thou art. Now, let's just do a little bit of it. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Well, needless to say, that calmed everybody way down. God's in charge, and He is our God who thunders. The voice of the Lord thunders. That's a verse from Psalms. Now, every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. So, he can't go. He can't talk. He can't even breathe. This God they've made. They are vanity, nothingness, and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. And then the last verse we want to look at today, the portion of Jacob, who is the Lord, the portion of Jacob, is not like them. For he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. And so we're told here that God made all things. And I'd like to quote to you a scripture from the New Testament that's so great on this. Well, you know, we actually have time to turn to this. I didn't turn to this with the other services because we didn't have enough time. But let's go to Colossians 1. Let's turn in the Bible to Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Because we get a little more when we look at both verses. Colossians chapter 1. And God eats peaches and cream. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1 and verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the former, he formed all things, and by him all things consist. Now, another translation for this word consist is are held together. All things are held together by Jesus Christ. This pulpit, those microphones, that piano, you, me, everything is held together by Jesus Christ. That's how they're held together. You know, I remember in my junior year in high school, I had chemistry, and the professor was Dr. Eckert. I love that man. I love the memory of him. He's the sweetest. He was a little plump. And he had this really kind face with a great smile. I really think he was a Christian. I didn't know enough about being saved to, you know if he was or not. But anyway, he used to stand on top of his desk sometimes. It was amazing the things this man did. And he made learning chemistry a great joy for us. But he was teaching about the atom, which is the smallest building block of this pulpit or anything. Everything's made of atoms and molecules. And he was talking about how the scientists are dumbfounded how it is that atoms can stay together because the positively and negatively charged particles, the electrons, the protons, and how they fit together. And it is a miracle that atoms can stay together. Now, man has found that out and invented the atom bomb. And actually, they learned how to split atoms in a fraction of a second, a really super fraction of a second. And that causes this huge release of energy, and everything just blows apart, and you've got the atom bomb. And so that's how unstable this thing is. And so they were wondering what in the world held the atom together, and they decided on the term, and this was the old term, I think they've come up with new terms now, atomic glue. That's all they could come up with. The thing just sticks together. And we're just going to call it atomic glue. And I remember as a junior in high school going, what? You know, I mean, that's kind of lame. but that's what they called it. But as I became a Christian and began to study the Bible, by him all things are held together. I found out what the atomic glue was. It's Jesus, man. And Jesus says, could you say one word and this whole thing will just go up. Boom. Like a, you know, a giant H-bomb or whatever it is. And so, wow. The truth of it. You know, would you rather have a tree in your living room and be afraid of it, that can't talk, can't move, can't even breathe. But this is what these people chose over the living God. Man, everything else is just vanity. But Him. Oh, the mighty Him. And how He loves us. And is so personal to speak to us individually about our problems. And to comfort us with every comfort. The Bible says that He puts our tears in a bottle in heaven. How important are your tears? He puts every one of them in His bottle in heaven. It's the most amazing thing. And you know, I think that as we learn these things more and more, we'll learn more and more how to just praise Him every day. Amen? Amen. Just praise Him every single day. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll sing. So Father, we thank You, God, for Jeremiah, and Lord, how he is so relevant for the things of this day, writing 2,500 years ago. And Lord, we know that that makes us see again and again, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And mankind hasn't changed one iota. If we want to know how the people were then, they were just like us. And those that would recognize You and come to You and worship You and ask You life questions are the ones that are successful in making it through successfully. So, Lord, thank You for that, Lord. We want to just keep on Your road. Help us to never, ever go to the tea leaves or any of that stuff. And we thank You, Father. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, we got some prayer warriors over here. Boy, I'm telling you, they're ready to pray for you. And we have not because we ask not, right? So we want to come and get some prayer. God bless you guys.